Years ago, when I was in grade school, we would begin the morning by the teacher taking the roll and seeing which ones were going to eat in the dining room and which ones had brought their own lunches. And it was just a normal thing that a lot of the kids would bring their own little brown bag lunches, and the teacher would say, "Okay, write your name on your bag and take it to the back of the class," and they would all be there until we went to lunch later in the day. And then we would all come together and sit there at the table in the dining room, and it was amazing how many times we would try to switch from those of us who ate in the dining room with those who brought their own lunches, because we wanted to have some of what they had and they'd want to have some of what we had, and we would switch back and forth. Of course, you know, the lunches sat there before refrigeration and all that was available there in the school, and before they discovered that, you know, things could spoil. We didn't have that type of acknowledgement then, I don't guess. As I read this passage of Scripture and I think about an event like that, how a mother would fix maybe a brown bag lunch for her son or daughter, as the case may be. And this little fella had found reason to be interested, and not only him, but it said 5,000 men, and the assessment is at least 10, 12, maybe even 20,000 people are gathered around this time when Jesus is preaching. But Jesus has an issue. The issue is that his cousin has been murdered. And Jesus feels the need to be able to maybe get away for a while. A time to relax. A time to pull together those emotions when the reality is what can happen to a person when a lust-filled, crazed leader can kill a person who is a prophet of God. And Jesus certainly was dealing with his own demise, the reality of his own crucifixion. A lot of things possibly were going on inside of Jesus, and he felt the need to get away. Sometimes those of us in ministry need time just to get away. I remember Thanksgiving evening here at the church. Service was over. I had plans to immediately leave to go out of town to be with family on the next day. I was in that deprogramming mode. A long full day was behind us, and in walked a transient type person, and I was not in the frame of mind to take time to reach out to this individual. And I told him, I said, "You're catching me at the end of a service, at the end of the day. I'm exhausted. You're just going to have to deal with somebody else. I'm out of here." And I left. Jesus could have felt the same way in this passage. It was a time when maybe mentally and emotionally he was just not present. And yet, he was. The Bible says that he had compassion and he healed their sick. He touched their needs. He responded to them. I think about this young boy as he was there during that time and what he experienced with his loaves and fishes. Charles Swindoll tells a story about a young boy named Danny. Danny comes out of the Sunday school class and he is looking for his mom and his dad, and he finds his dad and he runs up and grabs him around the leg and he squeezes his head. Boy, Dad, he said, that story about Moses and those children of Israel, now that was something. His dad said, well, son, tell me about it. Well, the children of Israel, he said, were making it across the desert, and said they came to the Red Sea. The Pharaoh's army was closing in hard behind them. And Moses picks up the walkie-talkie and he calls in the Israeli Air Force and says they began to lay bombs on them, and says, and he also, while they were putting it on that army, he said, they called and the Navy, and while they were doing all that, they built a pontoon bridge across the Red Sea, and said all those children of Israel made it across, and said after they crossed over, said the Air Force came in and blew up that pontoon bridge, and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the sea. What part of them was left? His dad said, son, did they tell you that in Sunday school? He said, no, Dad, but the story they told me, you'd never believe it. I think about this young boy. When maybe he comes home to his mom and says, Mom, you know, those 5 loaves and 2 fish you gave me, you're not going to believe what me and Jesus did. We fed that whole crowd. I can imagine the mom looking at him and saying, son, don't you be exaggerating. When we think about our lives and we think about the church and we think about our needs and our world, the reality is that God is in the miracle business. God does do miracles. I have read many passages that talk about this encounter, and some will say, well, there was a source of food that Jesus knew something about. Others will say, well, some saw that what this young boy did in giving his meal, and others reached and they had food as well, and they put it there and they put it all together. And some of individuals like myself believe that God fed that whole crowd with those loaves and fishes. I can only imagine as Jesus is breaking the bread and he's giving it out, and the bread just continues and continues and continues, and Jesus keeps breaking and keeps giving. And in the end, there are 12 basketfuls so that these unbelieving disciples now can share. The church that I pastored a few years ago, Pisgah United Methodist, determined that they needed a new addition to their church. We entered into a stewardship financial campaign, and when I left, they had amassed about half of the monies that they needed to purchase or to build this facility. And they had determined that when they reached 50% of their needed revenues, that they would start the building. You can go by there today, and there stands this nice edifice in behind the church. Pisgah United Methodist Church has been a part of the life of Florence for years and years, over 200 years. Originally was called the Russell Meeting House. And so this church is on the corner there of Ebenezer Road and Hoffmeyer. It's a beautiful structure. people are continually coming by and when I was the pastor and asking me if they could paint this church or if they could put it on a calendar or something that they had. And it's in a lot of the drawings around town. And when you see historical places, inevitably Pisgah is one of them. They had a need. The need was that they needed to finish paying for this structure. Someone came to them and said, I'm going to give you the money that you need to pay off your structure interest free. Here's what you need to pay each month. And if this is all right with you, this is what I'll do. They needed a roof. The roof that they have on the church is over 100 years old and leaks. They tried to repair it while I was there. It didn't work. It still leaks unless they've replaced it. This individual came and said, I understand you have an expense. He says, I'm going to do the same thing for the roof that I did for the building. You can have the money, interest free. This is what your payments will be. Now, you can call it a miracle, or you can call it just a human thing, or you can justify it in any way that you want to. The fact is that there was a need, that God touched a person's heart, and they responded, and the need is being met, and the church continues to grow. With these individuals that were following Jesus, they were looking for a king. They were looking for somebody that could meet their needs. Now, you think about an individual that could feed 5,000 plus individuals with a few loaves and fishes. Now, that's a person you want to make king. They could resolve all the hunger issues. They could resolve all those other issues within the society. And so they wanted to make Jesus king. As I think about these individuals, they are the ones who had David in their lineage, Solomon, Malachi, Elijah, Elisha. But currently they had nobody. Currently they were occupied and they were under Roman bondage. And they were thinking, one of our great prophets of old has returned. And you could ask the question, or Jesus could have asked the question, who do people say that I am now? Who do people say that I am now that they've had their fill of loaves and fishes? Who do people say that I am now that my needs have been, their needs have been met? That they were all satisfied. As I think about this passage of Scripture, my question comes, and who are we in this passage of Scripture? Are we one of the disciples that wanted to send the people away? Are we a part of the crowd that really is not committed, really is just there maybe for the entertainment? maybe has no real heart commitment, but likes to see a good show. Are we that little boy? Says, Lord, I don't have a lot, but what I have, you can use it. How is it in this passage of Scripture that Christ speaks to us and says to you and to me, who do you say that I am? A man visited his local priest. His wife had died, and this man just could not be consoled. He visited time and time and time again, trying to deal with this loss. And one day he had a bouquet of flowers. The priest said, what are you doing with the flowers? He said, well, after our meeting, says, I'm going to the grave. The priest said, I want you to do something a little different. I want you to take those flowers. I want you to go to the hospital. I want you to visit some individuals and take a flower and give them a flower. He said that the next time the man came, he told the priest, he said, you know, I met so many wonderful people in giving out those flowers. He said that I don't really have time for my meeting today. I've got some appointments that I need to make giving flowers to other people. On a bathroom wall was written these words, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Somebody came along underneath it and wrote, Jesus would wash his hands. And somebody else came along and wrote underneath it, and Jesus would wash your feet. How is it that we use those things that God has given to us? Amen.